households, both alike in dignity, in fair Verona, where we lay our scene, from ancient grudge break to new mutiny, where civil blood makes civil hands unclean. From forth the fatal loins of these two foes, a pair of star-crossed lovers take their life, whose misadventured, piteous overthrows do with their death bury their parents' strife. The fearful passage of their death-marked love and the continuance of their parents' rage, which but their children's end naught could remove, is now the 2 hours' traffic of our stage, the which, if you with patient ears attend, what here shall miss, our toil shall strive to mend.
It's the opening quarto of William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. Not all of us can read Shakespeare like that. Or can we? Louis Cogliani thinks we can. He's written a book about it called How to Speak Shakespeare. Anne Strainchamp sat down with Cogliani for a lesson.
Two households, both alike in dignity, in fair Verona, where we lay our scene.
Okay, not bad, but when you're doing nouns that are important, you can lead the listener. Watch what I do. Two households. See how I did households? That makes you want to listen. That gives suspense. Both alike in dignity. See what I'm doing?
Uh-huh.
I'm saying, come on, keep listening. In fair Verona. There I've laid the scene out. Verona sort of made a horizon. Where we lay our scene. See what I'm doing? I'm leading. Let me hear you say households, where you're bending the pitch like that.
Two households.
You did it. Now do the same sort of deal with dignity, but you're adding on that it's not just households, but it's households that are of high esteem. Give that a go.
Two households, both alike in dignity.
Beautiful. Now set the scene.
In fair Verona, where we lay our scene.
Beautiful. You've got it. Now keep leading.
From ancient grudge, break to new mutiny.
But make break more violent. Make it more about breaking out into a fight on a hot Italian day.
From ancient grudge, break to new mutiny.
You've got it. Now, that's not bad at all. Now, I want to point out to you that what we haven't addressed at all, and we won't, is the acting. This is simply about the rhetoric, about the language, about making the thoughts reflect clearly.
Do you think if we all learned to speak Shakespeare the way you just taught me, we would enjoy reading Shakespeare more?
I do indeed, because Shakespeare was never meant to be read silently. It was always meant to be read out loud, and it was in the 1700s that Shakespeare was edited down for reading enjoyment, for the reading public. And I think in a way that did a disservice to Shakespeare. When Shakespeare is taught in school, I believe it should be taught out loud. Students should be reading the plays out loud together and by themselves. Because when you hear it, when you feel that language in your mouth, you get another level of meaning. You get sort of the visceral level of meaning that you'll never get by just tracing through the words silently.
It's very challenging, because what you're talking about is making Shakespeare, making the poetry visceral, that is, of your body. You know, you have to make it with your body, with your voice. That's completely different than making sense of it with your mind.
It is challenging, and part of the challenge is to rise to the language of Shakespeare as it was. We think of Shakespeare as antiquated, as archaic. However, because Shakespeare's language is from 400 years ago, and it is still known as modern English, linguists call Shakespeare early modern English, what we have to remember is that Shakespeare's English was 400 years younger. This was English in its teenage. This was English when you could spout new words and they would be taken seriously. Shakespeare is said to have brought about 1,800 English words into print for the first time. And that is vitality.
Do you think learning to speak Shakespeare has any effect on people beyond simply the reading of Shakespeare? I mean, does it change the way you simply speak in ordinary life or the way you hear other people's speech?
Yes, I think it does. For one thing, it sharpens your personal eloquence. Shakespeare did a wonderful job at giving every character in his plays, no matter how few or many lines they spoke, a personal point of view. And I think often when we speak today, we try to withhold our personal point of view. We try not to offend. We try not to rock the boat. And so we dole out our speech in polite portions, or else we ramble on incessantly where there is no end of the thought, and it just keeps going until someone feels like interrupting. The subjects change and meander. And that is not the case in Shakespeare. You have to trace a very clear line of thinking from beginning to middle to end. You'll find that all Shakespeare characters have a personal point of view, and all Shakespeare characters speak from beginning to middle to end.
So there's a kind of ferocious honesty to it that is
absolutely
somewhat missing in everyday speech, at least now.
Yes, at times it is. And also, you might say that Shakespeare's language exists on the epic or heroic level. People are verbalizing large ideas, universal truths. And sometimes we're a bit intimidated from doing that in our everyday speech.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I took away just from that short lesson is that I hadn't realized how muscular Shakespeare is. It's just, I mean, the effect of reading that, it's vigorous and muscular. You have to be kind of strong to read it.
Yes, you do, don't you? Yes, and that, again, is that vitality, that physical vitality, which we can trace back from early modern English to Middle English. Chaucer was equally muscular. And remember, it was only some 100 years before Shakespeare was born that people were speaking in Chaucerian English. They're speaking words such as, Juan that April with his sure sota, the drucht of March hath persed to the rota, and bathed every vine in switch liqueur, of which virtue engendered is the fleur. Now, if you say that, it's as if you're chewing on raw meat.
It is.
And Shakespeare is rather more like that than modern English.
Do you think that really reflects something about the experience of living in that period of time? Was life itself just more physically vigorous? And does our speech really reflect this kind of softer, more cerebral lifestyle that we have?
Without a doubt, there were no buttons to push in Shakespeare's day.
Kind of makes you sad. We seem like modern-day wimps.
Well, we are, but our atavism can take us back, and we can look at these words, which really do belong to us. People forget that Shakespeare is our common heritage. He's not a dead white man. He's an earlier speaker of English. And his language has come down to us and comes through us. And we can go back to that language and breathe life into it again. And there's nothing quite so inspiring as hearing the words of Shakespeare from a dusty closed book come to life again with meaning and need. And that basic ingredient, humanity, that's what validates Shakespeare in the end, is that Shakespeare is filled with the breath of humanity.
Louis Colliani is the co-author with Cal Prittner of How to Speak Shakespeare. He spoke with Anne Strainchamps.